Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Oh, could you stand to your feet with me? Could you stand, everybody? I want you just to lift your hands and just worship Jesus. If you're thankful this morning, if you know you're blessed, if you know He's good, just bless Him. Oh, we worship You, Lord. We thank You for Your goodness, Lord. Thank You for Your blessings, Lord. We worship You. We worship You. We worship You. You are altogether lovely, Lord. We worship You. We bless and praise Your name. Oh, my soul, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. For the Spirit of the Lord would say, as it was on the day of creation, and my spirit hovered over the stillness, my spirit hovered over the darkness and the inactivity and the nothingness. And then suddenly light and creation and power and form and substance. For I created something out of nothing. And the Spirit of God would say to you, you look and you see formless. You look and you see darkness. You see nothing moving. And at times, discouragement would come as though nothing was happening. But as you rest in the stillness of those moments of your life, I would say that I am hovering over you right now, says the Lord. I am brooding and I am moving and I am preparing you for the great explosion, the creative explosion of what I have purposed for your future. Learn to rest in me and do not look as a person looks. Do not look at numbers and do not look at measurements and do not look at indicators as though those were the things that identify whether I am moving. For I move in quiet places. I move in stillness, says the Lord. And then suddenly, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of stillness, I create, says the Lord. And in your life, I am creating. And I am moving, and you watch over the next 90 days. Hear the word of the Lord. You watch how I create the new in your life, how I set forth and establish the new thing that I am doing. It is not always what you're looking at. Sometimes I come in your blind spot and I create a blessing that you did not see coming. Watch for the surprises. Watch for the unexpected, says the Lord. And be a person of faith and be a person of expectation and anticipation. Even in dark times when nothing is moving, I am doing a work, says the Lord. And you will see with your own eyes that I am God all by myself, and I am healing, and I am blessing, and I am multiplying, and I am bringing forth the hands and the feet to do the work that I have called you to do. I will do it, says the Lord. I will work and I will move. So trust in me and believe in me and know that I am a creator like none other, says the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, as I'm just prophesying right there, I feel like there's people that have arthritic pain. You have like a burning, you have like a fiery pain in your body. There may be someone else who is battling infection in your body. You have like a raging infection. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your healing power. I want to say someone's got a migraine headache. And the Holy Spirit is just coming right now. If you need a healing anywhere in your body, God is a creative healer. Just lift your hands to Him. Father, we thank You for Your creative power, Lord, that You will touch, Lord, bones and nerves, and You will touch, Lord, our autonomic nervous system. You, Lord, will go from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. Lord, every joint, everything that needs to be strengthened, may it be healed and strengthened. And Lord, we just declare, Lord, even for lost family members, for people that are away from You, and even broken relationships, where sometimes during the holidays that becomes so, there creates a tension and a and on almost a twisting and a trying to break. Lord, we stop that right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you for reconciliation of relationships, Lord. We bind misunderstanding and we loose, Lord, the healing of relationships in our world, Lord. Thank you for doing it in our city. Thank you for doing it in our families, Lord. Bring great healing to all your people. And we are grateful and we are thankful. And we give you the honor. If you receive that, say amen. Amen. You can just be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
So let's get right into the message. If you're in the auditorium or if you're in the cafe or if you're listening online, hopefully you've got a hold of one of our teaching outlines. Those are posted weekly online, and you can grab one here in the cafe or in the auditorium. Grab that, and we're going to continue this series that we've been doing about the word better. Everyone say better. Better. We've been talking about how life can get better and how every aspect of our life can get better when we learn certain principles from the kingdom. For example, last week we talked about favor. Favor is better. The Bible says that favor is better than silver and gold. So we don't spend our life chasing after money. We look for the things that will produce favor in our lives. And today, because we're coming up on the Thanksgiving holiday, I thought it would be really smart for us to look at a principle I learned a long time ago, which is that grateful is better. Everyone say grateful is better. Grateful. Yeah, because normal, you know, complaining is not working. Griping is not working. It's not making us happier. It's not making us more joyful. Actually, the thing, if you catch a hold of what I'm going to share today, if you really catch this this message, and you begin to practice this simple act of humility and gratitude in your life, you're going to find joy and restoration and blessing returning to your life big time. This is really powerful. I want you to write down every brilliant thing I say, because I'm going to say a lot of brilliant things today, and we're going to have a good time in the Word. Amen? I want to take you to Daniel chapter 4 and share with you the true story, the amazing story of a proud king who learned gratitude. He lost his joy, he lost everything he had, but he learned in the midst of that, that grateful is better. This is kind of a long passage, but it's an enjoyable story. It's actually a breathtaking story. So let's read it in its fullness. Daniel chapter 4. King Nebuchadnezzar sent this message to the people of every race and nation, language throughout the world: peace and prosperity to you. I want you all to know about the miraculous signs and wonders the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs. How powerful his wonders. His kingdom will last forever, his rule through all generations. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was living in my palace in comfort and prosperity. But one night, I had a dream that frightened me. I saw visions that terrified me as I lay in my bed. So I issued an order calling in all the wise men of Babylon so they could tell me what my dream meant. When all the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and fortune tellers came in, I told them the dream, but they could not tell me what it meant. At last, Daniel came before me, and I told him the dream. His name was Belteshazzar, after my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. And I said to him, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you, so that no mystery is too great for you to solve. Now tell me what my dream means. While I was lying in my bed, this is what I dreamed. I saw a large tree in the middle of the earth. The tree grew very tall and strong, reaching into the heavens for all the world to see. It had fresh green leaves and was loaded with fruit for all to eat. Wild animals lived in its shade. Birds nested in its branches, and all the world fed from this tree. Then as I lay there dreaming, I saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven. The messenger shouted, "Cut down the tree and lop off its branches. Shake the leaves and scatter its fruit. Chase the wild animals from its shade and the birds from its branches. But leave the stump and the roots in the ground, bound with a band of iron and bronze, surrounded by tender grass. Now let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the wild animals among the plants of the field. For 7 periods of time, let him have the mind of a wild animal instead of the mind of a human. For this has been decreed by the messengers. It is commanded by the holy ones, so that everyone will know that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world. He gives them to anyone he chooses, even to the lowliest of people. Belteshazzar, that was the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now tell me what it means. For none of these wise men of my kingdom can do so. But you can tell me, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Upon hearing this, Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar, was overcome for a time, frightened by the meaning of the dream. The king said to him, Belteshazzar, don't be alarmed by the dream and what it means. Belteshazzar replied, I wish the events foreshadowed in this dream would happen to your enemies, my lord, and not to you. But the tree you saw was growing very tall and strong, reaching high into the heavens for the whole world to see. It had fresh green leaves and was loaded with fruit to eat. Wild animals lived under its shade and birds rested in its branches. That tree, your majesty, is you. For you have grown strong and great. Your greatness reaches to the heaven and your rule is to the ends of the earth. Then you saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it. But leave the stump and the roots in the ground, bound with a band of iron and bronze, surrounded by tender grass. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the animals of the field for 7 periods of time. This is what the dream means, your majesty. This is what the Most High has declared will happen to my lord, the king. You will be driven from human society, and you will live in the fields with the wild animals. You will eat grass like a cow. You will be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world, and he gives them to anyone he chooses. But the stump and the roots of the tree were left in the ground. This means that you will receive your kingdom back again when you have learned that heaven rules. King Nebuchadnezzar, please accept my advice. Stop sinning and do what is right. Break from your wicked past and be merciful to the poor. Perhaps then you will continue to prosper. But all these things did happen to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, he was taking a walk on a flat roof by the royal palace in Babylon. As he looked across the city, he said, look at this great city of Babylon by my own power. I have built this city as my royal residence to display my majestic splendor. While these words were still in his mouth, a voice called down from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. You will no longer rule this kingdom. You will be driven from human society. You will live in the fields with the wild animals, and you will eat grass like a cow. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world, and he gives them to anyone he chooses. That same hour, the judgment was fulfilled, and Nebuchadnezzar was driven from human society. And he ate grass like a cow, and he was drenched with the dew of heavens, and he lived this way until his hair was as long as eagle's feathers and his nails were like bird's claws. After this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven, and my sanity returned, and I praised and worshiped the Most High God and honored the one who lived forever. His rule is everlasting, and his kingdom is eternal. All the people of the earth are nothing compared to him. He does as he pleases among the angels of heaven and among the people of the earth. No one can stop him or say to him, "What do you mean by doing these things?" When my sanity returned to me, so did my honor and glory and kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored as the head of my kingdom and with even greater power and honor than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and glorify and honor the King of heaven. All his acts are just and true, and he is able to what? Humble the proud. This is a breathtaking story. The truth of history reveals that there was a king named Nebuchadnezzar, and that he did rule, and he was greater than all of the kings that were before him. There also is a 7-year gap of history where nothing is known of Nebuchadnezzar's actions. At the end of that gap in world history, it is also recorded that he ruled and that his wealth was greater than ever before. This story speaks so much to us in our day, and I'm going to let the Holy Spirit make applications to our current political situation. However, what I would like to talk about is the simple truth that Nebuchadnezzar learned that all of us must also learn, which is that God is in control. There is a God in heaven. He takes one down, he puts another one up, and whatever we have comes from him. We did not do it. Those are the lessons that I think are before us in this passage today. Nebuchadnezzar, as a fact of history, as a person of history, was probably in the top 10 kings that have ever ruled. In terms of the sheer landmass that he controlled, the wealth that he had, the authority that he had, stretched from the border of China down through India, all the way up through the north of Europe and clean through Africa. Nebuchadnezzar was one of 10 rulers, probably the top 10 rulers in world history. Nobody today touches Nebuchadnezzar for power, for influence, for building, for accomplishment. He's one of the top 10. And he confesses, this man who had all this wealth and power, he says this. He puts it in Daniel's book. He says, "Daniel, put this in your book. Tell my story. Because here's my story. I had everything, but I was wrong in my thinking. And I lost it all. But I learned a lesson. Daniel, I had a cancer in my life called pride. And God brought me to the bottom, from the top. He brought me to eat like an animal for 7 years, homeless. And then he restored me back. Daniel, tell the people that there is a God in heaven, and he knows how to humble the proud. Therefore, I praise him and I thank him because he is the greatest ruler." This is Nebuchadnezzar's story. Now, is this story relevant to us, the story of ancient kingdoms and people eating grass? Is this relevant to us? I think so, because here in Silicon Valley, we have many such kings, at least in their own minds. People like us who are building kingdoms. People like us who believe we're doing it. And people like us who that fast could lose it. if we don't learn the lesson of humility and that gratitude is better. We're meant to see several things in this story. Let me point them out to you. You can look at your teaching outline and follow along. First, we're meant to see that the essence of pride is a little statement on the inside of us that says, I did this. I earned this degree. I built this business. I did this. I made this family. I accomplished this on my own. Look at what I did. That's the essence of pride. See, Nebuchadnezzar was claiming credit at the very moment when he was claiming credit. And look, Daniel had come to him and said, whatever you do, dude, like, humble yourself. He didn't get it. He went out for a walk. He looked at this unbelievable marble alabaster city that he had built and the hanging gardens and the waterways, and they brought him the tax income reports, and they brought him the reports of the farthest provinces, and how everyone was worshiping him as a god. And he said, look what I've done. And in the middle of that statement, God flipped his table. And he began to lose his mind. It was when he said, I did it. That's the essence of pride. Paul mentioned something like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where he said, what gives you the right to make such a judgment? Now, I just want to stop right there, as I did in the first service, and mention there is no shortage of opinions in this era we live in. Everybody's talking. And nobody's listening. We're all making judgments. We all know exactly what should be happening right now. We are all outraged. We are all overjoyed. We have our opinions. But Paul said, what gives you the right to make such a judgment? What do you have that God hasn't given you? Nebuchadnezzar said, I've done all this. What does he have that God didn't give to him? The answer, nothing. We can't boast. We can't make great judgments. Everything we have was given to us by God. If you really understand that you are not the king and I am not the king, but there is a king, that changes everything. If everything you have is from God, why boast as though, what? It were not a what? Yes. Circle that word gift, because we're coming back to that word. I want you to understand today the place of God's gift in your life. If you have something, that word gift is important. Pride claims to be the author of something that someone else has accomplished. Last Sunday, we enjoyed a beautiful song. Pastor Nicole sang one of our worship songs, and it was a song that she had written. She wrote it. God gave it to her. But if I had said after her song, how many of you enjoyed that song? I actually wrote that song. God gave me that song, and I just hope you enjoyed it. Wouldn't that be plagiarism? It'd be terrible, right? It'd be gross. You would hate me if I said that. But if we claim that we have done something that God did, we are plagiarizing. We're stealing. And Nebuchadnezzar's problem was he was plagiarizing. He was saying he did this. But the lesson God wanted him to learn is, buddy, I put you there, and I can take you down. And just because you happen to be there when I put you there doesn't mean that you did all of this. I did this. That's the claim of a proud person. I deserve this is another kind of claim. I'm the one that worked hard. I did all the heavy lifting. I went to school. I made the investment. I made all the decisions. I did this, and I deserve it. So check this car out. Take a good long look at my crib, because I earned this. I started with nothing, and I did it. I did it. And in the midst of that, while those words are coming out of our mouth, God is issuing a judgment. And he says, I'm coming for that. I don't want to come for that. But that is going to make you sick. That's going to drive you out of your mind to believe that it's all up to you and that you can do it. Pride takes control from God and claims it as its own. I'm the one that decides what I do with my body. I'm the one that decides what I do with my money. I'm the one that decides what I do with my time. I did this. I built this. I deserve this. I made this. That's the essence of pride. We're also, I think, meant to see in this story the unrest of pride. The unrest of pride has to do with anxiety. Because of all the kings in the world, if there was one king that should have been able to get a good night's sleep, it was Nebuchadnezzar, right? I mean, he had a security staff, he had a palace, he had security, he had tax revenues coming in from all over the known world. He was Mr. Big. He should have been able to sleep on that big old feather bed of his or whatever he had, gold-plated, whatever. He should have been able to sleep securely and soundly, but God was troubling him. He was not a peaceful man. He was an anxious man. You see, pride releases anxiety. How does that work? How is pride linked to anxiety? Well, he has a dream, first of all, and the dream is God speaking somehow that a tree is going to be cut down. That'll give you the creeps, because you might be thinking, I don't know what this is. Daniel, this is my enemy's tree, right? Check it out, Daniel. Someone else is ready to fall, right? He doesn't have that peace. And when Daniel gives him this guy, he can't sleep. He's got the unrest of pride working in his life. Pride and anxiety are linked. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Let me explain something to you. The Bible says that we should have a humble attitude. Everyone say humble. Right. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand so that... Oh, who does the lifting? He can lift you up. Okay. And then look, right in the middle of that discussion of pride and humility, cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. One of the trickiest things about our soul is that we slip over into this prideful thing. I did this and I'm in control of this and this is all my doing. But when you get there, you get what Nehemiah got, which is anxiety. When you think you're pulling all the strings and it's all up to you, when you think you have to make it happen or it won't happen, so that when it is happening, it must be that you made it happen. When you have all that weight and all that godlike authority to make it all happen by yourself, you're so far out on thin ice that you know it. And peace leaves you because you're not trusting God anymore. And you're not humbling yourself. You're actually believing that you're the one that has to make it happen. You got to make it rain. No, you can't make it rain. God makes it rain. You can't bless yourself. God can bless you. You don't have to promote yourself. God will lift you up. Your thing is get humble before the Lord and realize that wealth and honor and riches come from the Lord. Power comes from God. You don't have to push yourself or promote yourself. Don't let anxiety take over your life. I got to make sure my kid goes. I was at the gym yesterday and a lady, they know I'm a pastor because the word is out in our classes. So she comes up to me after class and she says, can I talk to you about my son? I'm just nervous about my son. He's an adult and I know I need to let him make his own choices, but he's making really dumb choices and I want to control him. And what do I do? I said, well, the older your kids get, the more it's about influence and the less it is about control. And I said, control is just an illusion anyway. If you are worrying about him and putting you know, just straining it, do you think that's actually changing the outcome? It's just a proud thing to be worried, because it's as though by your act of worrying, you're changing the outcome. It's like the bowler. You ever been bowling and you throw the ball and the ball isn't, and then it's going, but it's not going where you want it to go, so you kind of, and you're doing all this energy to try to affect it, but you can't affect it. The ball is out of your hands. And ladies and gentlemen, life is out of your hands. You can't change it by your prideful anxiousness, thinking that by you struggling and striving and twisting and turning and pushing and shoving that you're going to change the outcome. Let go of your pride and acknowledge God. Lord, you're the one that has to bless my children. You're the one that has to prosper my business. Lord, it's not my anxiety staying awake at night, going over it and over it and over it. That's not changing it at all. It's really in your hands, Lord. Does anybody hear what I'm saying today? The unrest of pride. That through our pushing and shoving and our great kingdom control, and God brings us to a point where we have zero control until we learn that God is in control. And then it all comes back. I think we're meant to see the debasement and the insanity of pride. The insanity of pride. Oh my gosh. Nebuchadnezzar's mind got bent. I'm not making fun of mental illness. I'm saying the way he was thinking twisted his head. It debased him. He became like an animal, crawling in the grass, sleeping outside for years. A man who had it all. Pride is insane. Pride will make you like an animal. Pride will make you scratch and claw and fight and devour. You won't act like a person. You'll act like an animal. And my goodness, I'm looking at our country right now, and I see the fighting and the scratching and the animal. The animal anger and the animal viciousness and the fighting and the biting and the devouring, and you better not say this, because I will tear your face off. That's animal. Human beings don't act that way. Human beings walk in honor. Human beings walk in humility. Animals fight and scratch. Instead of being threatened by everything like an animal, be grateful. Find something to be thankful for. Animals are afraid of everything. Animals are paranoid. And they read danger everywhere because they're just into survival. They don't realize that God takes care of them. God takes care of you. You don't have to be freaked out. Boy, I'm preaching today. You know what? That sounded proud, didn't it? You see how it is? You see how it is? Actually, I did that on purpose. Romans 1. They knew God, but they did not, what? Praise and what? They didn't, they weren't grateful. And what happened? What happened in their head? Their thoughts became pointless. Their misguided minds were plunged into darkness, claiming to be wise. They talked like There's something better than this. And if you're listening at your home for your Bible study, turn to lesson 4 and go for it. Talk about what is better than pride. There's something better than a life of pride, something better than a life of insanity, and it's called gratitude. Everyone say gratitude is better. Now, here's something I want to teach you, and I think it's one of those secrets that if you and I can learn this, it will change our emotional landscape completely, totally. And it goes like this. Everything is a gift. Everything, and I mean everything, is a gift. If you have it and it's good, it comes from God. What was the lesson? What was the lesson? What was the point of God dealing with Nebuchadnezzar the way he was? Till you know, till you learn this lesson, that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men, and he what? He gives it. If you have it, he gave it to you. Everything is a gift, Nebuchadnezzar. Understand, you didn't create it. God gave it to you. This mindset will release unbelievable peace and happiness. If we can get this into our minds, if we can actually be grateful, actually realize this is an unbelievable gift that we could be here today, that changes everything. That we could sing these songs. What a gift that we could worship God. What a gift that we could live in this country. What a gift that we could have air conditioning and lights. What a gift that we're clothed. What a gift that we're breathing air. What a gift that we're married. What a gift that we have friends. God, I don't deserve this. I didn't create this. This is your goodness. Instead of living in constant complaint, constant registering how sick and how wrong, and it's like our pride has driven us to be so critical. We're evaluating everything and everyone, and we know exactly why people are doing what they're doing right now. We know why. And how dare they? And how dare they breathe in America? And how dare they come into my church with that? And how dare they wear that t-shirt? And how dare they think that thought? This whole culture is burning down. Everything, the sky is falling. Do you know the insanity and the anxiety that you are releasing into yourself? And when you talk that way to your children, and you teach them to think that way, you think you're preparing your child for reality, you are driving your child into insanity. Teach your children to be grateful. Teach yourself to be thankful. Because every good thing given and every perfect gift, James chapter 1, every perfect, what gift is from where? If you have it and it's good, it's from God. It came down from the Father in heaven. There's a God who loves you. There's a God who made sure good things were in your life. Now, do you acknowledge those things? Will you be grateful? When God humbles us, or when we humble ourselves, we actually see that we are totally undeserving recipients of his grace. You want to be happy? Realize you don't deserve anything that you have. You say, well, the world should be better. What makes you and I think that it should be this good? Do you know how jacked up our hearts are? Do you know how far we have fallen? Do you know what's on the inside of people? And that we get to live in a world that's just this good is an unbelievable privilege. We should have been wiped out. We should have been creamed. God should have God should have burned this thing down a long time ago. The fact that we are still breathing, that we have any pleasure, any freedom, anything, that is a gift from God. Every day I'm alive is a gift. I don't deserve to be alive. I didn't do it. I didn't work this up. I didn't earn this. And you can't make me miserable. I'm not going with you. If you want to be miserable, have at it. But I'm going to live like life is a gift. I'm going to live like everything I have comes from a good God. There is a good God that loves me. And yes, there are some inconveniences. Boo hoo. All this unbelievable whining and sadness, and we're releasing anxiety and fear, and people are panicking like the sky is falling and the world is coming to the end. I got news for you guys. The sky isn't falling. And if you're all excited about the election, you just think the world is perfect now, you got a lot to learn. And if you think the world is coming to an end, you're giving way too much credit to one event. There is a God who is in heaven, and he knows how to move, and he knows what to do. When you humble yourself, the anxiety leaves, and you realize, I don't deserve anything. I get to be married to this woman. I get to lead this church. I got a sweater from the Gap. I got Zoe playing that keyboard. I'm dead serious. We're all complaining. Well, I didn't like this. Well, I didn't like that. When you actually stop, will you check yourself and say, compared to what I've done, I'm unbelievably blessed. I don't deserve any of this. See, that's humility. Wish I had a better wife. No, I get to be married to this unbelievable, foxy, amazing. I wish I had kids like so-and-so. Wait a minute, you get these kids? You get to breathe right now? You get to feel God's presence right now? I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. But you got to be humble to be grateful. How many are grateful to God? You say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm self-made. I'm a self-made man. I taught myself music. I taught myself business. I did this. Really? You're self-made? Fascinating. Who chose your gender? Who chose your IQ? Who chose your abilities? Who formed you? Who created you? Who made sure you were born in 1967 instead of 1311 in the middle of the bubonic plague? Who gave you the parents you had? Who gave you the open doors you had? You're self-made. Remarkable. You see, when we actually begin to live like everything, and I mean everything, is a gift, our minds come back to us. Our joy comes back to us. Our riches come back to us. We learn the lesson. I had cancer, the cancer of pride and ingratitude, and God brought me to nothing. And I learned this. Daniel, put it in your book. This is what I learned. I want to make sure everybody knows there's a God in heaven, and he reigns, and he gives power, and he gives wealth. We're coming to the end of this message. I hope I didn't depress you. Because the story actually ends beautifully. He learns the lesson, and he gets it all back. Remember the tree? It was cut, but there was still a stump. And out of that tree, it regrew. He got everything back. I think God is saying, when we learn what he wants us to know, that everything is a gift, that our salvation is a gift, for by grace you are saved. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Lest anyone should boast. You didn't save yourself. You didn't earn this. Jesus died for you. He loves you. And when you actually receive that, it takes a lot of the pressure off, the pressure to be perfect, the pressure to make it rain, the pressure to control everything, even the ball that's left your hand. You realize, hey, it's about grace. Get back into the unforced rhythm of grace. Let the joy come. Let the peace come. Be big on grateful. Be little on complaining and pride and fussy. In fact, let the fussy just kind of go. And let the grateful grow. I'm not a rapper, but I noticed that that rhymed. Any of you that do spoken word, feel free. Just go for it. One of the things that, when it comes to tithing and giving, we're going to receive our tithes and offerings. I think this has application to our giving. Because when you say to somebody who thinks everything is theirs, give something to God. What? Oh no, this is my money. I'm not giving nothing. I'll decide if it'll be 1% or 0.5%, but it ain't gonna be 10%. That's crazy. But when you realize everything's a gift, it's not so crazy. My beautiful cousin, Pastor Linnell, is here today. Imagine, Linnell, if you had nothing and I had all kinds of money. This is just imaginary. And you really needed, let's say, $10,000.
Yeah.
And I gave you $10,000.
Wow.
You'd be grateful, right?
Yes.
Now, what if I said to you, I give you that $10,000. You know what? I love you. You don't have to give me anything back except $1,000. Keep the $9,000. I love you that much. Keep the $9,000. Be smart with it. Just let's call it, let's don't call it $10,000. Let's call it $1,000. Keep the difference. Would you say, what? I have to give you $1,000 back? No, you wouldn't say that because you realize you just got a $9,000 gift, right? Tithing makes unbelievable sense when you have your head screwed on right. When you realize that everything you have is a gift. And God says, keep it, enjoy it, be smart with it. I would like you to honor me by giving me 1/10 back. Wow. Look, this lesson will change your money. It'll change your family. It'll change everything about how content and how happy you are to do what God is asking you to do. The bottom line is this. Grateful is better. And if you agree, say amen.
Hallelujah.
Let's pray. I mismanage my time a lot. Probably all that rapping. So I'm running a minute late. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your grace. On this Sunday before Thanksgiving, it's just the right time. In this time of turbulence, it's just the right time for us to remember that we shouldn't lose our minds and we don't have to grovel like animals. We can be grateful, grateful human beings, blessed by a loving God with so many great things. Lord, forgive our complaining. Forgive our grousing and our whining and our opinionating. That's so crazy. just make us grateful. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. And we thank you for our family. We thank you for this church. We thank you for our friendships. We thank you for cars to drive and clothes to wear and food to eat. We thank you for this great country. We thank you, Lord, for all the ways that you are showing such generosity toward us. You should have destroyed us a long time ago for our sin and our arrogance and our foolishness. But Lord, you've just been so patient. Thank you for your goodness. And I pray that all of us, Lord, would learn that everything is a gift, literally everything, and that we would live in the power of gratitude. And that would bring such mental health to us, Lord. You'd deliver us from insomnia. Deliver us from anxiety. Deliver us from all of the side effects of our twisted, depraved kinds of former ways of thinking. Create in us a clean heart. Renew our minds, Lord, with the truth. And deliver us from evil, Lord. Make us a grateful, grateful, grateful people. In Jesus' name. While your heads are bowed, I just want to ask if there's somebody here. Somehow you ended up listening online, you ended up in our cafe, you ended up here in the sanctuary, and you know that you're not where you need to be spiritually. You know that you're not serving the Lord. You've been living for yourself, and you're ready to make a commitment to follow Jesus Christ, for by grace you are saved. You can't save yourself, and you never did have to earn it. If you thought you had to be perfect, you were wrong. All you do is just open your heart to Jesus and say, Lord, just take this mess and make something out of it. If that's you, I want to pray for you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you lift your hand and say, Pastor David, pray for me. I'm going to give my life to Christ today. Just put it up wherever you are. God bless you. Just a moment longer, please. Another hand. Thank you. God bless you. I see you there too in the back. I see another one. Let's turn our lives over to him. If you're in the cafe, just raise your hand. Someone will see you. I see you. Thank you for lifting your hand. Now I'm going to say a prayer with you and just lead you into an abundant life with Christ. Would you put the prayer up on the screen? We're going to say this prayer. All of us, we'll do this together. Everybody online, watching from Hawaii, wherever you are, let's say this prayer. Come on, everybody, let's pray. Father God, thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die for my sins. I've been so filled with pride and ingratitude, but today I want something better. Lord Jesus, I accept your free gift of grace. Everything I have is a gift, and I am grateful to you for it all. In Christ's name, amen. I counted about 8 hands just a minute ago. I think the rest of us ought to let them know they made a really good choice. That is awesome. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, if you raised your hand or if you're new in the church, I'd love to get your card, that I'm new here card or I've decided card. We're going to have the ushers come in just a moment. If you'll fill that card out, prepare your gifts. We're going to honor the Lord. We're going to worship for a few minutes and let the Holy Spirit just cleanse us and wash us as we worship him. We're going to go out of this place blessing the Lord, full of gratitude. Amen. So don't go anywhere. Just give, and I'll come back, and I'm going to speak a special blessing over you as we close the service. And I'll Come on, you got a minute for this. Lift your hands.
I give myself.
Sing that again.
To you.
Come on, church. My life is not my own. Like this. Nebuchadnezzar learns this lesson. There's a God, and he gives. And when he got that, he got his life back. There's something about acknowledging God and honoring him that drives the crazy out. When Saul was out of his mind, and David just started thanking God. Just play. I'm just going to worship you, Lord. The gratitude drove the crazy away. And you know what I think happened here today? I think the crazy got broken. I hope it did. And now, would you just lift your hands and let me bless you? I bless you with peace. Because you have surrendered to Christ, because you have honored him, because you acknowledge that there is a God who gives and blesses, I grant you, I speak peace, the peace of Christ, to keep your heart, mind, and soul, and that you be so healthy in body, soul, and spirit, because you are grateful, and that you would enjoy that abundant life that Christ has for you through him. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Kathy and I want to wish every one of you an incredible Thanksgiving that will last the next 365 days. God's doing great things. I'm so glad we could be together. If you're interested in youth ministry, you just want to find out a little bit more about that, you can join Jordan right here. Our prayer teams are going to come at this time. If you need prayer, please don't rush off. We'd like to pray with you. God bless you, everyone.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our